From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday, which means it's time for our reporter roundtable. Today we're talking about what's been making news in Carbondale. Joining me are two reporters with The Daily Egyptian, the independent student news outlet at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. Lily Gibbs is the editor-in-chief, and Carly Gist is the news editor. Lily, Carly, welcome to The 21st Show.
Thank you for having us.
Lily, I'm going to start with you. Throughout the country, we've seen protests against President Donald Trump and Elon Musk, particularly President's Day this past Monday. Carbondale was no exception to that. What can you tell us about what happened there?
Yeah, so we saw, you know, around the country that a lot of protests were happening at state capitals. That's something that we had talked about here in Illinois and Springfield about going. It didn't end up working out with, you know, our schedule and how we produce our paper. But we were sitting in the newsroom and someone had, you know, sent me a message that something was happening up at the Civic Center uptown. So me and our editor, or our photo editor, Enan Chediak, we hopped in the car, ran up there, and there was about 150 people up there kind of, you know, spreading the same message that we saw around the country, just kind of opposing Trump and his views. And a lot of it here in Carbondale was centered around being against Elon Musk and kind of his involvement in our government. And so it's kind of what we saw.
Carly, I want to bring you into the conversation now, and sticking with this theme of the federal government and how it's what is happening in Washington is playing out around the country. Illinois has become what some call a safe haven for people who are transgender seeking medical treatment, particularly as the federal government and neighboring states like Indiana seek to ban different types of that care. You did a story on how Illinois and Indiana compare, and more specifically, the role of Southern Illinois cities such as Carbondale. Say more about that.
Yeah, so this was a story I started following back in October. In 2023, Indiana passed a law that prohibits gender transition treatments for children, even if their parents approve of it. So this includes gender-affirming hormone therapy, which is a treatment that helps align a person's outward characteristics with their gender identity. And so because the law was passed, a lot of these minors in Indiana have had to travel to Illinois because Illinois offers protection for this kind of care. I was connected with a young trans woman from Indianapolis named Connie, who she had been receiving treatment for nearly a year, but then when that law passed, she's had to travel to different places in Illinois, including Carbondale, for those doctor's appointments, and then also to pick up her medication. So I followed her journey for several months, and then I also talked to healthcare providers in Illinois. So Planned Parenthood, which she's attended in Carbondale, says that they've seen an increase in people traveling from out of state. And then in Carbondale, we also have a clinic called Choices, and they have two locations in Carbondale and in Memphis. But Tennessee has a similar law that's actually currently being challenged in the Supreme Court. And because of that, when that ban was passed, then people from Tennessee were also coming to Carbondale. So Carbondale's kind of become this spot for kids and for trans youth in the South and also the Midwest to travel for care. And Carbondale also has a bodily autonomy ordinance, which states that anyone who's attempting to extradite someone for traveling for this care will be held accountable. And then also, like, at the state level, there's the Patient and Provider Protection Act. And I spoke to Representative Kelly Cassidy, who is the chief sponsor, and she said that this act, like, prevents Illinois from participating in investigations if other states are seeking to penalize those who are traveling. And it also protects, like, the Illinois licensure of medical professionals. And so I spoke with her again recently because, like you said, at that federal level, like, President Trump just recently signed a bill that's directing the government to not fund or assist these treatments. And she said that right now they're working to determine what it means so that they can figure out what to protect, but that nothing has changed in Illinois. So Illinois and Carbondale, they're currently working to kind of, like, remain that haven.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch how this continues to play out as the president signs these orders, which, of course, don't necessarily have the effect of law, but are still consequential in some ways. You know, and Carly, on that point, actually, there was, you know, another thing that was one of these presidential orders, or at least out of the administration, was this federal funding freeze, which supposedly was just temporary, but it's left its mark across the country. How was that felt at Southern Illinois University?
Yeah, so this was a story that was covered by one of our staff reporters, Annalise Schmidt, And when the White House like suspended those payments for federal grants and loans, even though it was reversed the next day, it caused a lot of concern at SIU. We're a very research-heavy institution, and so a lot of the fields rely on grants from the federal government to complete that research. So Annalise, she reached out very quickly to several researchers on campus who they expressed those frustrations because, like I said, even though the directive was reversed, the White House said that it's going to continue reviewing federal spending. So it's kind of left them with a lot of uncertainty. And one of the things that came up during her interviews is that this isn't just going to impact what's being done at the undergraduate level. It could also have an impact on salaries and students and other po postdoctoral research.
Lily, sticking with SIU, we recently got updated enrollment numbers there. What we call directional schools in our state, especially Eastern, Western, Southern, for example, they have been dealing with some declining enrollment in recent years. How are things looking in Carbondale?
In Carbondale, the spring semester was our fifth straight semester of enrollment increase. It increased by 3.3%, which we have currently 10,869 students at SIU, and 8,362 of those are on campus. The rest are online. So enrollment's steadily been increasing in the last few years, and they're on track to enroll 15,000 students by 2030 is what our Chancellor Lane is. Kind of his goal, he calls it Imagine 2030 strategic plan, and he says that we're on track.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're beginning, as we do most Fridays, with a reporter roundtable focusing on different parts of the state. Today, we're talking about Southern Illinois broadly and Carbondale in particular. And we're talking about it with two reporters from the Daily Egyptian, the independent student newspaper and news outlet for Southern Illinois University. Carly Gist is the news editor. Lily Gibbs is editor-in-chief. So, Carly, another thing that recently happened with SIU was it was sort of given this or earned, you might say, this R1 status. For people who are not familiar with that, this is kind of a big deal. What is it? What does that mean for the university?
Yeah, so basically, it just means that we conduct research at a very high level. You know, it's a status that's given to universities that spend around 50 million on research and then produce 70 or more research doctorates. And I know Chancellor Lane was very proud. He said that it's putting SIU Carbondale in an elite company. We're just the second public university to gain this status in Illinois, so there's a chance that this could make our program stand out. And as Lily mentioned, enrollment numbers have been increasing throughout e recent years, so hopefully this will help aid that.
I think 187 universities nationwide have that designation, which, when you think of it in the grand scheme of things, is not that many compared to how many schools are out there. All right, Lily, a bit of sad news this week. Legendary baseball coach at Southern Illinois University has died. Who was he? What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Richard Itchy Jones. He's, you know, our baseball field's named after him. He was just a very iconic coach. He coached here for 21 years. After he did play here when he was a student, but he coached for 21 years and led the Salukis to five Missouri Valley Conference titles, 10 NCAA tournament appearances, and retired as the college baseball's top 20 all-time winningest coaches. And he did a lot for SIU. He coached 18 Salukis to the major leagues, and kind of his time period as coaching is, I think, you know, just like one that we all look back on and like, you know, it's everywhere. It's, you know, it's on the field and around the stadium. So yeah, it was pretty sad to, you know, hear that news. He was 87 years old when he died, and yeah, he coached for 39 years at the collegiate levels. After he left us, he went to U of I in Champaign and coached there and did great things. So yeah, we were all
Yeah,
pretty.
I noticed the university here in Urbana, our home station, is based at the Urbana campus. Also recognized his passing. Apparently, I had to look this up. His nickname, Itchy. I guess he got that in the third grade. He broke his leg and was using the handle of a fly swatter to relieve the itchiness under his cast. And I think it was a cousin who called him Itchy.
It stuck. I went back in the archive room the other day to kind of, we're trying to put together like a larger piece, you know, talking about his career and his, you know, time here at Southern Illinois. And I went back into the archive room to see if I could find any old photos, and every single article that he's in, like when he was a player or as he was a coach, references him as Itchy Jones.
Well-documented history. All right, let's move on to some of the city news in Carbondale. And Lily, I'm gonna ask you about expecting mothers are scrambling for care because a major medical group is no longer going to be delivering babies at a hospital there. What happened?
So Southern Illinois SIH, our hospital, here based in Carbondale, they have three provider, or they had three providers that offered labor and delivery services. On January 21st, Heartland Women's Healthcare, which is one of the providers, announced that they were no longer going to provide those services there, and we're moving kind of their focus to their Mount Vernon location because they had several. But when they announced it through Facebook and said that they were stopping on January 31st. So a lot of people were kind of scared, didn't know what to do, had to change their plans because not everyone can travel all the way to Mount Vernon, which is like 40 minutes away. And so we talked to some people at SIH. We talked to the director of Heartland Women's Healthcare and kind of just got the whole understanding of what was happening. But we also I worked on it with our photo editor, Enan Chediak, and me and him made it like a mission. Like, we really wanted to find someone that could tell us about their perspective of how their plans were changed. So we ended up meeting this woman who was, open and willing to talk to us about, she delivered her previous child there, and, she was delivered there. Her mom was delivered there. Her husband was delivered with Heartland in Carbondale. So it was kind of overwhelming, and she was just like a month away from her due date. So she had to, a lot of people had to scramble to change their plans. So yeah, we kind of like just looked into that impact of our area and kind of what that means. A lot of misconception kind of went around that Carbondale wasn't delivering babies anymore, which wasn't the case. We have two other providers in SIH that are, still delivering. But yeah, it was a lot, and we talked to a lot of people, and it turned out pretty nicely.
Yeah, that can always be a concern, right? There may be other providers, but do they work with your particular insurance? And like you
Yeah.
said, it's a 45-minute drive up to Mount Vernon, if they need to go there. All right, one other local story I wanted to ask you about, which was some controversy around the owner of WSIL TV, which planned to lay off the entire meteorology team. What was the reasoning behind that?
So this was a story that was done by our staff reporter, Jackson Brandhorst. He kind of received word of it pretty early on before it happened that they were going to get rid of their meteorology teams. And he was so great and got right on it. And I think we were one of the first people that were, got to break that news. And but somewhere like it ended up, the decision ended up getting reversed. And so he reported on that. And but the Allen Media Group is parent company to WSIL and like I think 28 other stations are around. And they had come to the decision that they were going to get rid of their meteorology teams, reverse the decision. So a lot of people were very excited about that, got to keep their jobs and keep some more news access here in this region. So yeah,
Yeah.
Jackson did a great job on it.
This is of a piece with what's been happening across the news industry. We've seen newspapers, that are just fractions of their former staff, if they're even existing at all. A lot of newspapers have gone out of business. Carly, let me ask you about this, sort of moving away from your specific stories you all have done to just the how you're approaching coverage, right? You're a student newspaper, and yet you are becoming one of the news sources for Carbondale and beyond. How are you approaching that?
Yeah, one of the things that we're making sure is that we're really focusing on Carbondale and Southern Illinois, not just what's happening on campus. So we've really been working to like build relationships with those local leaders so we can keep in touch and keep informed on what's going on. We also have at SIU, we have the Saluki Local Reporting Lab, which was a program started by our professors Julia Rindelman and Molly Parker, and it's to help publish those like local Southern Illinois stories statewide to get more coverage and to help put student work out there. So we're trying to make sure that we're staying updated and staying active in the community so that we can give people the news, not just about our college, but also what's going on in the city.
Molly Parker, good people. She's a friend of the show. Some of our listeners will know some of the great work she's done with ProPublica. We have talked with her about. All right, last, just about a minute left. I do want to ask about, it seems like Carbondale may have a pretty strong presence in the NPR Tiny Desk contest this year. A little more positive news here. What happened there? Which is, this is, I should say for listeners, this is where, you know, NPR has these Tiny Desk concerts, but they do a contest where they try to get an unsigned band. You've got a kind of an organized effort down there. What's happening with that?
So two groups that are kind of local based, the Band Advocacy Group and River to River Community Records, they collaborated last year and they continued on this year to they offer free studio slots to just local artists to give them the opportunity to have like a high quality recording to submit to the contest. So I worked on this story with staff reporter Miley Walker, and so we went over there. We just hung out with them for a little bit and got to talk to some artists and listen to them record. It was so fun. I like had just such a great time, and I did most of the visual. I did all the visuals for it, and Miley wrote, and we both kind of wrote together. But yeah, they kind of offer just this free and local opportunity. So local artists can get their name out there, and it's so cool. I just thought it was so awesome, and you know, they set up a little tiny desk right there in their studio and have the artist stand behind it. It was so awesome. I thought it was just so cool.
Well, maybe we will see them picked up by NPR. All right, Carly Gist and Lily Gibbs are respectively the news editor and the editor-in-chief of the Daily Egyptian. Thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you so much.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.